Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, it's Francis Lamb, and welcome to Splendid Table Selects, our mini podcast where we share the interviews that inspired us or just made us better cooks. Our presenting sponsor is Bob's Red Mill. They're an employee-owned company that's offered organic, gluten-free, stone-ground products for decades, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. I'll tell you more about Bob's Red Mill later, but first, let's get to the show. You know, I think most of us think of smokers as being used for meat, pork shoulders and beef briskets, you know, barbecue. But there's an entire world of meatless uses for them too. Ain't life grand? Our contributor Joe Yonan spoke with Steve Reichlin, the author of Project Smoke, to get the lowdown. Have a listen.
Hey, Stephen, thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Hi, Joe. I'm delighted to be here.
So, to some people, of course, as you know, the idea of smoking without meat is an oxymoron.
You know, it's so funny you should mention that. I knew this was going to be the topic of today's talk. And I actually went through the book and I did kind of a tally. And it turns out that 25% of the recipes in the book are meatless, which certainly astonished me.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know if your world is broad enough to include cheese, but there's a very venerable tradition of smoking cheese.
Of course. Yeah, smoked mozzarella.
Exactly. And the traditional way to smoke mozzarella is not with wood, but with hay. The epicenter of smoked cheese in Italy is around the ancient Greek town of Pestum, beautiful temples. And I remember the first time I saw it, mozzarella cheese in what amounted to a metal box. No smoke chamber, no wood pile. And the cheesemaker just put a big pile of hay in the bottom of the smoker, lit it, blast of smoke, smoked the cheese, incredibly fragrant, incredibly flavorful, and the whole process took maybe 5 minutes.
Wow. I mean, to some of us, if we're faced with two pieces of cheese and one of them is smoked and one of them is not smoked, you know which one we're going to pick.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Is there much difference to the cheese that's smoked, that you smoke yourself, versus the smoked cheeses that you can get in the supermarket?
Well, if you buy a good smoked cheese, you will taste wood smoke. But as even with a food like bacon, I mean, a lot of commercial bacon never sees the inside of a smokehouse. Mm. It's flavored, in effect, with liquid smoke. And such is the case with cheese, too. So when you buy a smoked cheese, you want to make sure that it is a smokehouse cheese smoked with real wood. Now, interesting thing about smoking cheese, and this is an interesting thing about meatless smoking, and that is, in effect, you want to smoke the cheese without actually cooking it, and that requires a technique called cold smoking. Now, if you're a fish lover, you use this technique to make Nova Scotia-style salmon or Scottish-style salmon, but if you are a meatless griller, you might use it to smoke cheese. I have what I call a tofu ham, where you cure tofu in a brine and then smoke it. It's absolutely fantastic. Are you a tofu fan, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to get to tofu as quickly as I possibly could with you, Steve. I love tofu, and people, when I tell them how wonderful smoked tofu is, they look at me like I'm crazy. So I was so excited to see that you get into it.
I treat tofu two ways in the book. There's a smoked tofu, which is more like a ham, where you cure tofu in a brine and then smoke it. Mm-hmm. And then there's what I call a barbecued tofu, which is seasoned with a barbecue rub. Actually, for me, the key to smoking and grilling tofu is you want to give it a sear in a skillet with either oil or butter first, because you know you need to firm up the exterior,
right?
And then you grill it, and it's fabulous. You get all those smoke and fire flavors. Although even as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be cool to smoke a silken tofu? whip it up with maple syrup or maybe smoked honey, because that's another way to get at this whole smoking business. I built a smokehouse, and one day I took every imaginable flavoring and kind of primary ingredient I could think of, and I cold smoked it. So I smoked mayonnaise, which is fantastic for making a smoked potato salad. I smoked flour. I smoked water, and I used those two to make smoked bread.
Wait, you smoked water? How do you smoke water?
Well, there are actually two ways, and this is a great bartending trick. One way to smoke water is you put it in a pan, and you put it in a smoker, and you smoke it low and slow at 225 degrees for a faster version. That takes about 45 minutes to an hour. Or you can actually smoke water, you can cold smoke water in a smokehouse, which takes 4 or 5 hours. But it's fantastic. And then you take the smoked water, you can make bread with it, you can freeze it in ice cube trays, and you've got smoked ice cubes, which are fantastic with smoked cocktails.
Mm. Some of your best looking smoke recipes of the many in the book did seem to deal somewhat with carbs. I happen to be a carbitarian, as much as I'm trying to cut back, but potatoes looked incredible on the smoker.
Smoked potato salad. You know, you start with new potatoes, cut them in half, smoke roast them. It's a technique that I use a lot. It's called smoke roasting, and it's kind of a cross between indirect grilling and smoking, done at a slightly higher temperature than the traditional low and slow smoking barbecue. What I like about it for vegetables like potatoes is you can give a food a crisp crust, all the while imbuing it with a profound smoke flavor. So that potato salad is fantastic. What else? Oh, gosh, there's a smoked mushroom bread pudding. Mm. There's a smoked vegetable cassoulet, picked up from my friend Vitaly Paley in Portland, Oregon. In a funny way, the notion of a vegetarian cassoulet, you know, but when you smoke the vegetables and you smoke the cassoulet, you get all of those meaty umami flavors, but without meat. It's quite extraordinary.
Right. It seems to me that what smoke does for vegetarians certainly is add a lot of those flavors that you don't necessarily get unless you're eating meat. So that seems to be a big part of the appeal, don't you think?
Very definitely. You know, I like to call smoke the umami of barbecue. And I think like conventional umami foods that we associate with meat and fish, smoke has this ability to bring out nuances of flavor, depth of flavor, to suggest ethnic profiles in very neutral foods like a potato, for example. I mean, if you make a smoked potato salad, you feel like you're at a barbecue, at a meat-based barbecue. Another of my favorite foods that may come as a surprise is smoked eggs. You would never associate it with smoking, and yet it's like a sponge for those smoky flavors. And a smoked egg side by side from a regular hard-boiled egg, I mean, it just, wow. It's sort of like that moment in The Wizard of Oz when you go from black and white to Technicolor. I'll tell you what the coolest discovery in the book was for me, smoked ice cream. And I had kind of gotten a hint of this at an amazing grill restaurant called Echebarri in the Basque Country in Spain, where the chef smokes the cream and then churns it into ice cream. So,
amazing.
Okay, it's fabulous, but it's a lot of work. But I had the idea at one point to take very good vanilla ice cream and unmold the package, put it in a pan of ice to keep it cold, and put it in a kettle grill that set up for indirect grilling. And then I loaded it with wood chips, unsoaked, so they'd start smoking right away. The idea was to apply the smoke in a rapid blast before the ice cream had a chance to melt. And boy, I hope you try that, Joe, because that's really, that'll make you see and appreciate ice cream in a whole new light.
You are the only person I have ever heard talk about putting ice cream and ice on a grill, so I have to try it. Thanks, Steve, so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it. This was a blast.
Great talking to you.
Steve Reichlin is the author of Project Smoke, and Joe Yonan is the author of Eat Your Vegetables, Bold Recipes for the Single Cook. And we have a recipe twofer, because Steve left us a recipe for double smoked potatoes, and Joe shared his recipe for Peasant's Bowl, which is truly a lot tastier than that sounds. And you'll find both recipes, and so many more, on our website, splendidtable.org. You know, so many of our favorite vegetarian recipes, including Joe's Peasant Bowl, call for beans. Bob's Red Mill has one of the finest selections of beans available, and their variety is beyond compare. From Black Turtle to Heritage Orca and Cranberry Beans, there's an abundance of choices, and you can find a whole lot more about Bob's Red Mill's beans and all their other products and recipes at bobsredmill.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.